Hey there, you're listening to the Career Prescription Podcast. I'm your host, Marjorie Siegler. In this show, we tackle the important things they don't teach you in medical school, like how to treat your career like the business it really is, with strategies to accelerate the kind of success that you want, because you deserve a career you love and a career that loves you back. Are you ready? Let's get into it. So welcome everyone back to another episode of The Career Prescription. I am honored today to have with me a truly inspirational colleague and friend that I am going to bring on today to tell you about her living of her dream, really, and so that you can feel like all of your dreams are available to you as well. She is a physician. She's an anesthesiologist like me, and she is a published author, not just a published author, but a writer of medical thrillers. So if you've ever had sort of a dream that you felt was maybe a pipe dream or just a little bit unrealistic or out of reach, please keep listening to hear from my friend, Shira Shiloa. Welcome so much to the show. Thank you for being here, Shira.
Thank you so much for having me, Marjorie. It's an honor to see you here and to talk to you and to be on your podcast. It's a fabulous podcast. It's actually been helping me with my career as an author. I could tell you about that, but thank you for having me.
Thanks for being here. Yeah. It's great to see you. Obviously, my audience is not going to be able to see you, but I can see you. You look amazing. You're glowing. Life is good.
Yes. Amen. Thank you. You too.
So it's incredible because we're really kind of coming out from a pretty downer year, right? COVID was a tough year for a lot of people. And when I think about the last time that I saw you, it was really right before COVID hit. But before we dive into like that and sort of where the story, at least the story that I know about you begins, would you take just a couple minutes to tell my audience a little bit just about you, you know, your life, how you found your way to medicine and sort of maybe where you were up until the point where we met at the Transforms retreat.
Sure. I can try to summarize a little bit. So I'm an anesthesiologist, as you mentioned. I actually I was born in Israel. That's the name Shira Shiloa. I was born in Israel, but I grew up actually in Memphis, Tennessee. Went away quite a few times for school and for different, you know, venues, different events in my life. Came back to Memphis for medical school. Went to residency at Northwestern in Chicago. And then I came back and got this private practice position here in Memphis. And it's been great. Medical anesthesia group. And I was full-time up until 4 years ago. And at that time, 4 years ago, I went part-time, still taking call, but half the call. And my partners have been amazing. And I focused a lot more of my efforts towards my dream of writing and becoming an author. And I had been writing pretty consistently, reading consistently, writing consistently for a decade. And those 4 years as a part-timer, I kind of took on this other role in my life as a writer and getting acclimated into the community. And it's a great community, the writing community. And I went to conferences and I went to intensives and I wrote a book and I really worked hard to get it traditionally published. I sent it off to multiple editors, multiple agents. The rejections kept getting kinder, you know, but there were still rejections. Yeah. Progress. I got kinder rejections, but I kept getting rejected. And that's kind of the state where you saw me.
Wait, let me back up from there though. Right. Cause that's just a whole lot. I can imagine that a lot of people who are listening are thinking to themselves, that's a pretty enormous leap just in the first place of going half time to focus on writing. So what can you tell? I know sometimes, you know, after the fact, especially if it's 4 or 5 or 6 years after the fact, can be hard to remember what that space felt like. But was that something that was a hard decision, easy decision? I mean, what was that like for you?
You know, it's such a good question. Where does the desire to write come from? And I honestly think the majority of authors tell you it's this innate need to get the story out. Like when you're a storyteller, you have to tell the story and it kind of simmers in your brain and it won't let you rest. No. Like I wake up at night thinking about my books and I'm thinking about my characters and it's innate. Yeah. It's innate. I think a lot of artists feel that way. They don't know why or how or what, but most writers that I know are also big readers. And I've been an avid reader my entire life. So I think maybe that also is part of it, being an avid reader and then wanting to write
kind of go hand in hand.
I like what you said there in terms of like, it's a story that just has to come out, because I can think of a lot of people who've got plenty of hobbies or interests that they're not going to quit half their job to pursue. That's a big step.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, it still was just going to be a hobby. I'm not going to lie, Marjorie. I didn't think I was going to become an author. I didn't think I was going to have two books in me. I didn't think I was going to have, I just knew I needed to write, but it was a hobby. It wasn't a second career. I went from full-time to part-time, and that was kind of it. And then I had this wonderful time to read and write, and it just kept evolving. Mm-hmm. And then I got hit with this epiphany for this book, for the book that I published, and I couldn't stop writing. It just kept coming out.
And so, that's not the same book as the book where you were getting kinder and gentler rejections.
No, that is the book. That is the book. Yeah. Yeah. It's the first, it's the only published book. So this book, I got kinder rejections from basically no, you're not, I'm not interested, to, oh, you know, I really like the premise, but. And then it went from, I really like the premise and the description and characterization's great. However, and then the last one was from a dream agent. And that's the one you're talking about. That's what I emailed you guys about. It was a dream agent. It was who I really wanted. And I, at that point, I thought I hadn't, but I thought I had done everything I could to make the book sellable and marketable for her. And then she sends me this email and it said, and I hung on to these words. It said, I can tell you're a writer of talent. And I just clung to those words. That's all I needed. I just needed to hear that from her, you know, even though she didn't want to be my agent. That was the first time a rejection letter had been kind
Wow. That's like a gift. But it didn't feel like it at that moment.
No. It just felt like a rejection, but I did hold on to it. In fact, I have a stack behind me of 60 rejections and hers is on top because that's what I decided at that moment. I said, I'm going to stop at that. That was the rejection. This is after Transformed. Uh-huh. That was the rejection where I said, I am going to stop waiting for the light at the end of the tunnel and I'm just going to light it myself.
Well, okay. So let's back up for people then, because so you and I met at the Transformed retreat, right? People who are listening may or may not know about this event. It's for women physicians. It is just a once a year annual retreat, a really small number of people. We have fewer than 20 attendees. And many people who come are people who are looking for something more dramatic in their lives. So they either want to rebalance their career or they want to take a sort of a second career type of shift. And I do remember you talking about wanting to write at the retreat. Do you remember what your headspace was at that time or actually, and before that, why did you come to the retreat? Yeah.
So I actually came to the retreat not knowing what I was getting into. But my best friend from residency, it turned out to be an amazing, you know, it actually changed the course of my life. But I actually just went to sit at the beach with my best friend. And it was a CME, as you know. And so my best friend from residency had said, oh, will you go to Cancun with me? And I'm like, when? Where? Let's go. And so I took advantage of it. And then when I got there beforehand, you guys sent us some preparation material. And in that preparation material, the social media, to look through your social media and figure out your first five pages of your name as an MD and then just as your name. And that was very
eye-opening. The digital audit. Yeah. To see how you show up online. Yep.
That was very eye-opening and upsetting. I was like, what? This is what shows up? So, because it didn't represent me at all. I mean, there was nothing, I owned none of that media. None of it was about me. None of it was anything that I would want my name on. So then we get to this beautiful retreat and very intensive, wonderful meditation retreat, but we're actually going to delve into some really hard questions. You know, you need to talk about what's going on in your life to like kind of get to figure out what you want to do next. And I didn't even know I was in that transition period. Like I said, writing was a hobby and I was getting rejected. So one of the things that really mattered for me at the Transformed conference was we were sitting around. Maybe the third day of intensives. We'd done a lot at that point. And that's when I fessed up that I had this book in the trailer.
I remember it coming out as sort of a surprise to me. Like, wait a minute. Why are you keeping this from us?
I didn't even mention that I had this medical thriller that I wrote because I wasn't proud of it yet. You know, and nobody had patted me on the back and said, hey, it's good. I didn't know that, I just got rejections. So I mentioned it and I said, yeah, I have this book. And you were very, you zoned in immediately. You said, wait a minute. So what's going on with this book? And I said, well, you know what? Nobody wants an ugly baby. And everybody laughed. Yes. And you wouldn't let it go. You said, wait a minute. So what if it is an ugly baby? Why haven't you released it? Why isn't it out in the world? And I had to really delve into that. You know, that was a very poignant question. And I had to really delve into fear and ego and uncertainty and am I good enough? Is it good enough? Will I be mocked? All mm-hmm. these really intense fears, mm-hmm. you know, and it's all ego, really.
It's all normal.
But it was holding me back. It was holding back a dream of mine because an agent didn't take the book. Yeah. Because no agent had picked it up. I felt it wasn't good enough, which is ridiculous.
Yeah.
They only accept 1% of the books. They can't sell every good book out there. They just can't. I didn't have a platform, which you educated me about. I didn't have a blog, which you educated me about, or a website. I hadn't published on anybody else's blog, which you educated me about. So I came home from that conference and I wrote an article about it and it got submitted to Kevin MD.
Oh, good. Yeah, I remember that.
And then he published it. And that first publication of one article that I had written gave me a little bit of wind.
Good.
Yeah. And I'm like, oh, I can't do this maybe. So then I started the website and then I started my blogging and then I went full force. Yeah.
That's so great. That's so amazing because really, so you were just coming to, you know, get some fun in the sun with the bestie.
Yes.
And we ended up doing much more. I'm so glad.
And it was great. Who knew that was our last like international trip for the next, who knows how long.
It's incredible. And when I think about it, so we're doing it again, you know, I mean, we didn't do it this past year. We are doing it again in January. I haven't sent out actually any, nothing's been published by the time this podcast airs. It will be, but no, you know, no sign up materials or anything like that have been out in the universe just yet. So you're,
Women, you got to go to this. Women doctors, you should go to this. This has been one of my all time favorite CMEs. It's an incredible experience with incredible leaders, and the women there are so interesting. So we have our own little Facebook group. We chat, we text each other. It's this great venue, great situation to make real connections with other professional women. I cannot recommend it enough. Highly. Go. I want to go
again.
Thank you.
Well, you can. You know, Nancy's come three times. You can come.
Nancy has come three times. Nancy MD, guys. She's amazing.
Right. Yeah, just keep coming. But it's true. You know, there is that super depth of connection that, you know, we all kind of walk in totally different types of people. I mean, all women physicians, but just from all different experiences with all different stuff going on. And in a really short time. Just get that deep connection. What's one of the things I love about it the most? So you came for fun in the sun, you came home with, you know, major plans and some direction. And then you got the nicest rejection letter of the one that said that you are a writer of talent. You got a little wind in your sails from Kevin MD, and then you decided you're going to go independent. So, tell us a little bit about that process. What was that like?
Sure. So it's a really steep learning curve. You know, I joke that it took me 13 years to get a medical degree and a board certification. It took me 13 years to get good enough for this published book. There's so many little intricacies that go into independent publishing. And I highly recommend to all authors, all indies, you've got to seek professional assistance to make your book stand out and to be competitive in the traditional mm-hmm. market. So the cover is professionally made. I paid for a beautiful artist. I hired an incredible copy editor, Erica McIntyre. Again, she's amazing. I highly recommend her. I hired a proofreader. I hired inside mm-hmm. design. And then I worked hard to get reviews, and that's the scariest part. So I sent off the book, the advanced reader copy, to Kirkus and to Book Life and to Midwest book reviews, to get those reviews so that I can have a little bit of street cred, you know, publishing cred
on
the
jacket.
The
yeah.
On the jacket. And it's terrifying because those are third party. That was the first third party person to read my book. Not somebody who's working to help it better, not family, not friends. Yeah. So when I sent it out to Kirkus and I opened it, my heart was pounding because it's almost like opening if you pass the boards or not.
Yeah.
Like, that's how you feel. Like, did I pass my oral boards? Like, did they like it?
Did they like my baby?
Is my baby ugly? And they loved it, right? They gave me the most beautiful reviews. And then once I got that, I asked for a few authors that I know personally, if they would read it and review it. And they gave me beautiful reviews. And then I had this, I had everything ready.
Sorry, let me stop you for a second, Shira. Yeah. It occurs to me we haven't even told people the name of your book.
Oh, sorry. The book is called Emergence. Yes. So emergence is a state of anesthesia where you're waking from anesthesia. So it's a double play because the book does have a protagonist who is an anesthesiologist who is having to deal with a murderer, a killer in her midst. And so it's a medical thriller and emergence. So
the little quote that's on the front cover from one of the folks who reviewed your book says,
yeah,
a tantalizing plot for fans who like their happily ever after with a dash of medical malice. It sounds so intriguing. I love it.
Right. Book Life gave me that lovely review. And then they compared me to Tess Gerritsen and Kelly Parsons. And so that made the cover. Anyway, so the book was wonderful. And the thing that you learn about publishing is I felt such a group hug, like emotional hug. It was the middle of COVID. You know, we couldn't do anything. I had to take my author photos outside. My friend took them for me. And you couldn't have a launch party. So we had to do it online. But I still felt so much love from readers. You know, I got so much lovely emails and text messages and reviews. It's amazing.
That's really, really great. And it's been a very successful book. I mean, as I read on your website, you are an international bestseller.
I am. I can't even
black
believe
and
it.
White.
It made it to in Australia and Canada, and it made it in England. It made number one in England too. Wow. So yeah, it went international.
That's amazing. So you obviously learned a lot of practical stuff about getting not only getting yourself out there, but getting your book published independently. But is there anything that you would say you learned about yourself in that process?
Sure, I learned a lot about myself. I learned. I would say that I had a vision of myself when I was a kid, when I was 14, and I knew I wanted to be a physician. And I guess what I learned is that nothing's written in stone, and you're allowed to change your mind about things. So I thought I was going to be an obstetrician. I did it for 6 months and I hated it. And I flipped to anesthesia. Mm-hmm. I thought I was going to be an anesthesiologist and that was going to be my career. And that was going to be that. I didn't know that I was going to want to do this, to have a second career. And I learned it's okay to allow yourself to have a flexibility in your life and not be so narrow in your thinking. I feel like I maybe had blinders on. And I took them off and I'm like, you can do whatever you want. Like there's nothing limiting you. You have everything available to you. You just have to go for it.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. That's amazing. I love hearing that because I think so many people listening, I know, are going to be able to identify with that feeling like for a very long time, from the time they decided to pursue a career in medicine, that they had, sort of blinders or at least a very fixed path of what they're supposed to do. And how your career is supposed to go as a doctor. And I mean, there's no way that you could have brought what you brought into this world without having first gone through what you went through as a physician. I mean, that's part of it, right?
Exactly.
It's not separate. It's all part of you. But something that I really strikes me as the kind of thing where many people have these sort of pipe dreams where they think, I would love to do blah, 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 but I can't. And no real compelling reason behind the can't, except for just this feeling of can't.
This feeling of can't. And it's a self-limiting belief. You are caging yourself. Mm-hmm. You don't, Julie Silver, she runs Harvard Writers. I love her. One of the quotes from Julie Silver is, you don't have to think outside the box. You just have to realize how big your box is.
Yep, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
You can think about outside the box or you can think about how big that box is, right? All the breadth of possibilities is just tremendous.
Yeah, I agree.
So that book came out. And then yes. What? Because I know you're on a second book now.
Oh, and I'm obsessed with it. So this first book came out. My marketing team did everything they can to make it a beautiful baby. And it's succeeding in the world. And they told me, Carrie told me in October, you need to start your next book. And I said to her, I said, I don't know. She goes, I think you should write a sequel. And I said, no, I tied everything up with a big bow. This was always going to be a standalone. I'm not going to. She goes, well, what about a prequel? So a prequel would have put the characters in medical school. And so I did start to write that. And medical school was so traumatic the first time. I couldn't relive it. I'm like, no, this book is done. These characters are done. So I started writing something else. And it actually, it's a paranormal medical thriller. There, it does follow a physician protagonist, a man, Dr. Amir Haddad. I love writing in male voices. It's so much fun to write like a man. It's my favorite part. I don't know what it is. It's so fun. I don't know, to get into somebody else's mm-hmm. head, but not a woman, you know? So I wrote a protagonist, doctor who is being haunted by this ghost. And I can just tell you that for now, but there's also historical fiction in nice. There. So it's two genres. It's historical fiction and paranormal.
Authority. That's really fun. Do you have to do a fair amount of research for that? Or is it around stuff you already know?
Oh, it's so much research. I researched every aspect of this book. And it's shocking how much faster it happened for me, the second book. I'm almost done. I mean, it's crazy. It's 6 months or 7 months from when I started it. And I'm nearing the end. And it's been all encompassing and so much fun.
Wow. That's really tremendous. Yeah. That's tremendous.
Yeah. It's great. I love it. I love it.
When can we expect to be able to get our hands on it?
We'll keep you posted. The thing is that I don't know if I'm going to go traditional or indie. So I may send it out to that amazing agent. Yeah. I may send this one out to her and see what she says. There's actually like four or five agents who, again, they were very, very kind. So I may shoot them this book to see if this is something they'd be interested in. If I may give it like 6 weeks to go traditional, and if traditional doesn't pan out, I'll do the independent. If I do the independent, I'm looking at probably January 2022, probably be when it'll be all ready.
That's so exciting. That's just in time for Transformed.
There we go. I can bring you a signed
Please
copy.
Please do. Oh my gosh. Well, let me ask you another question if I can. I know we've talked a lot about the book and we've talked a lot about, you know, sort of what you've been up to this past year and what you've learned, but, this will maybe seem a little silly because I feel like everyone's year this past year has been super upside down because of COVID. But if you think about your life in terms of, you know, from the time that you got your book out there and just like, let that baby go free, how has your life changed since then?
I have two careers, you know, so I'm really busy, you know. It's rare for me to take a complete day off. My husband's incredibly supportive, but he knows that when I'm coming into my office, that there goes the morning. Like, he's not going to see me till later. So it's changed my ability to be as flexible with my time off, because everything is either the new book or helping blog or you know, writing guest blogs or writing more articles so the career aspect of it, which I love, has kind of been very time consuming. Mm-hmm. But how else has it changed? I think I see a future without medicine very clearly. I know that I'm going to go from part-time to no time, but never retired, because I'm always going to have this. Mm-hmm. And it really suits me. It really suits me. It makes me so happy to sit and write.
I can see it. I can so see it as you're telling me this.
Yeah, I love it. So I think I'm overall in a emotionally very happy place because of the writing. That's career. Great. I'm not ready to give up medicine. I love seeing my colleagues. I think if I didn't have my colleagues and didn't get to see them, I would probably really miss the human interaction. Mm-hmm. And patient care is
I enjoy so much of that. Like, there's a lot of things I don't like about medicine, but the actual caring for the patient and the colleagues, the relationship I have with my colleagues, I think those two aspects I would miss too much.
Absolutely. I feel that so much. I don't know anybody. I mean, I know many doctors, you know, based on the work I do, I know many doctors who do leave medicine and don't, there's a lot they don't like about it because that's why they choose to leave. But I don't know a single person who doesn't like taking care of patients, right? I mean, everyone loves that, which is sort of an unfortunate commentary on the state of healthcare delivery, because you have all these doctors who love patients and don't like employment or profession, you know, they don't like making a living as a doctor. If this isn't too personal, I want to ask you this question, because, you know, when we started this conversation, we were talking about writing as a hobby, even though you had gone part-time. But now you've just said you have two careers. So can you tell us a little bit about, is that a mindset shift, or is that because this is like paying the bills now, or tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I think it's a mindset shift. I think you nailed that. I think it's a matter of, I know I have two jobs. So if I'm working part-time and I know Wednesday, like this week, Thursday and Friday, I'm working, they're long days, I'm not going to be writing. I'm probably not going to do anything related to marketing. I'm just going to be going to the hospital, coming home and relaxing in the evening with my husband. But the rest of the time, there's a little bit more pressure to get things done, to be more time cognizant. So I'm not really wasting my mornings. I get up almost as if I got up to go to work, to go to the hospital, and I'll get my coffee and I'll come upstairs and I start writing. So there is a mindset that this is also a very important job. Mm-hmm. And it's, I always try to do something towards the author career, be it working on my website, be it blogging, be it marketing, helping with my marketing team, or writing the next book.
Absolutely. You know? So it's a little bit more intentional, more deliberate than the first book.
Yeah. The first book was just a, you know, just go and whenever you feel like it and let's change it. And I obsessed about that book, every little detail of that book. Oh my God. So such an obsession, right? Because you don't know. No one is, everyone you love is going to tell you it's good.
Everyone you love is going to tell you it's good. That's right. Isn't that right? That's one of the things I think too about venturing out into anything that is a second career or a side gig or anything like that is, you know, if you ask all of your friends, they all say it's an amazing idea. I would totally buy it. I absolutely, you know, someone needs this. And then you try to sell it. And that's where you really find out, right? It's like, where do you get clients? Do you get readers? Do you get a publisher? You know,
do you get all those things?
That's where the rubber meets the road, so to speak.
Right.
Well, before we wrap up, I want to be sure that people know, first of all, where can they find you and where can they buy your book? And can they get an autograph copy if they wanted to?
All of those things. So on my website, it's my first and last name. It's SHIRASHILOAHMD, ShiraShiloahMD.com. It's available everywhere books are sold. It's in libraries. Your library can order it for you if you want to just read it and return it. You can get it on Amazon, of course, it's the number one seller. You can get it at your local bookstore.
I'll put those links on my website in the show notes as well so that people can come, you know, certainly they can find their way from what you've just said, but if they can't, just come on over to the podcast show notes or to my website and I'll have links to that. Can you send me, if you want to share, a picture of your book so I can include it on the website?
Absolutely.
Don't do that, but this is so beautiful. It really warrants everything.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, I'll send it to you.
So as we wrap up, you know, thinking about sort of the theme of the career prescription, obviously intended for physician audiences and healthcare leaders, intended to help people along in their careers, whatever that career success might look like. Your story is such an amazing one. I thank you for sharing it. Before we go, if you were to think of a reason why anyone who's listened with us so far and is still listening now should share this episode with someone else, what would you tell them?
I think women physicians have plenty of colleagues who are creatives and who want to do something different and are too fearful to try it. I think we need to believe in ourselves. If you have somebody else in your life that you can think of that may want to kind of push the boundaries and do something different in their lives, shoot this to them, especially anybody who wants to write. And on my blog, you can reach out to me. You can find me on Twitter or Facebook, and I'm happy to answer questions to, especially to women writers.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate you coming on the show. It's wonderful to catch up with you.
It's so wonderful to see you. Thank you so much for having me.
And thank you, my friends, for joining me for another episode of The Career Prescription. I really hope you're finding this interview series this summer really informative and inspiring to hear from people who have done lots and lots of different things, all utilizing their talents and skills as physicians. And I really do hope that you are starting to see the world is your oyster. The sky's the limit, or maybe there is no limit at all to what you can do with your career and with your life. If you'd like to join us at the Transformed Retreat for Women Physicians, please do come check the show notes, or you can just pop on over to the website, transformd.org, and get all the information for the event, as well as sign up and register before it fills. Again, it's a very small event, which is part of the magic, but also part of the reason to move quickly if you're interested. Bye for now. Before you go, please review, share, and subscribe to this podcast. Your support makes all the difference, and it truly helps this information reach someone who may really need it. Until next time, thanks for listening.